Hey man, let's we'll go ahead and get started for tonight. I'll say a word of prayer and we'll jump right into this. Father Yah, we glorify you as always, and we thank you for just another opportunity to get into your word on tonight. We seek wisdom and understanding, and we just thank you in advance for all that you reveal to us, and that we just ask you to lead and guide us in all truth. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be moving around quite a bit on tonight. And Yah started dealing with me about this subject matter. I believe it was early Monday morning. I think it's early Monday morning. Sunday morning. And I was going to write about it, but he just led me not to do so. We're gonna answer a question that that a person may have in reference to some things that's going on in society today, especially when you look at there's this great falling away of the church. What I mean by falling away is like sound doctrine is not being taught. You have all these traditions of men, and as a result of it, you have people who are straying away or have strayed. There's not a whole lot of respect right now as far as the so-called church is concerned. And I just said so-called because that's going to soon change when Yah manifests His church, at His fullest. And I've been just having conversation with people who are feeling the same thing that I'm feeling in reference to this. And so I want to start out in Acts chapter 9, and I want to show you what's going on from a perspective of the church. And when I say the church, I'm talking about what we commonly understand it to be on today. Christians, I want to point out some things from that perspective to show you what the true underlying issue that's going on with the church. Okay. We'll start out in Acts chapter 19, and we'll start at verse 1, and then we'll just move around from there and just look at some other scriptures, and Yah reveal some things to us in reference to these scriptures that we'll look at. But Acts chapter 19, verse 1 said, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples." Now, we'll look at the word disciple just for sake of understanding here. When you look at the word disciple, it means a learner. Also, a pupil. Okay, disciple, a learner. Okay. And so we understand that these people were learners. They were followers of Christ. Okay, so this is established. when you look at verse 2, Paul says, and he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? Okay, now this is the scripture where we want to focus on, and we want to get an understanding of these things. And Yah reveal some things so that we can, again, we can walk in this understanding. Verse 2 said, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Implying that they did have the Holy Ghost, although they were believers. Okay? He says, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And the reason why I'm stressing this is because you will get tradition that will say, no man can come to God except the Spirit drawing. No man can come to Christ except the Spirit drawing. You know, these different things. In reference to this, the Spirit has to draw you and things like that. Well, as we see clearly here, and we don't want to take anything away from the Spirit of Yah, which is obviously the breath of Yah. And the reason why I believe people are not able to see this here is because they have the tendency to call the Holy Spirit the third person of the Godhead. Thus, the Holy Spirit being God, okay? Instead of Yah being God all by himself, who does things by his Spirit, who also has a Son, who he sent to be the Savior of the world. Okay? And so you will get people that will teach the doctrines that it takes the Holy Spirit to save you. And I'm saying this very much from a traditional point of view, because we will get a clearer understanding of that as we continue. And so I say it this way. It does take the Holy Spirit to keep you saved, but you can believe in Christ without having received the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, as the scripture says in verse 2. I read verse 2 again, and then we'll go deeper into this. Paul said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Pointing out the fact that they are disciples or learners based upon verse 1. Mm-hmm. So they are believers based upon verse 1 and 2. And they said unto him, Paul, he said unto Paul, we have not as much as heard whether they be any Holy Ghost. So they hadn't heard of it, hadn't heard of anything from the perspective of the Holy Ghost. And there are some things that, you know, we may even look at to understand, really what the Holy Ghost is. I just don't know if, we've dealt with some things, I just don't know if we're covered now. Verse 3 says, and he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? Okay. Unto what, if you hadn't been baptized, because it lets you know, or lets us know, that the Holy Ghost is a baptism. It's a baptism. Because he says, he immediately responds in verse 3, and he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? If you were not baptized by receiving the Holy Ghost, then what were you baptized? How were you baptized? So there is a baptism that takes place by the Holy Ghost, or of the Holy Ghost, that happens to individuals after they believe. You can be a believer and not be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Okay? I used to hear people say back in the day, you ain't even saved if you ain't got the Holy Ghost. Well, according to the scripture, you can be a believer and not have the Holy Ghost. There's a baptism of the Holy Ghost that must take place. Okay? And so we have to understand these things, and from understanding these we will see clearly why people struggle once they become a disciple, a believer. Okay? They struggle with their walk with Yah. They struggle with their relationship with Yah because they hadn't been baptized in the Holy Ghost. They hadn't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and so they're believers, they're disciples. They are learners, but yet there are some other things that need to take place now. Verse 2 again, and we'll understand as we move on. Verse 2 said, he said unto them, have you seen the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Unto John's baptism. Most people are baptized under John's baptism. Okay? They're baptized under John's baptism. Now, when you hear John's baptism, the first thing that comes to mind is the water baptism. Okay? And so we'll look at Matthew chapter 3 in order to understand John's baptism, and then we'll move forth in this. Now, Matthew chapter 3 to the left of the screen, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and say, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Y'all see this now. Verse 3 says, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, and I'm going to continue to read, and then I'm going to come back up, okay? Verse 4 says, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Y'all see this here? Now, most people focus on the baptism of John as being the water baptism. Although the water baptism coincided with John's baptism, water baptism was not the key to causing a person to be a disciple of Christ, Acts chapter 19. So when Paul was asking them in Acts chapter 19, he wasn't necessarily just talking about water baptism. But verse 2 reveals what the baptism of John really is. Verse 1 says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 3, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Okay? When you look at Acts chapter 19, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 through 3. Verse 1, 2, and 3 of Acts 19. It is pointing out that the baptism of John, although it had water associated with it, it was the preaching of John that brought people to repentance. So when a person heard the message of John, they repented from their sins, and the water baptism was as a result of them. The water baptism was another process by which they showed that they had repented. Thus, when the eunuch asked, who was it, Thomas? Let's go there. Philip, you're correct. When the eunuch asked Philip, so let's pull up another Bible. Acts chapter 8. Okay. Now, when you look at this to Acts chapter 8, I'll just read verse 27 for the sake of the time. Verse 27 says, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for the worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He goes on and said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Verse 32 says, the place of the scripture which he read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened not he not his mouth. And verse 33, in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? This is talking about Christ. Verse 34 says, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Yahushua. Okay? Now, here's the passage, verse 36 is where I really want to be. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What do it hinder that I may be baptized? Notice, now when you look in the middle of the screen, John is preaching. Notice, Acts chapter 8, verse 35, Philip is preaching. John is preaching. Okay? And if you notice, as you look in Acts chapter 8 to the left of the screen, the eunuch said, okay, what hinder me that I should be baptized with water? Okay? What hinder me that I should be baptized? Look what the answer Philip gave him, verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest, same here with John, Matthew 3, John is preaching. He's telling them to repent. Okay? Repent. And then as you continue on, it says verse 6, verse 5. Matthew 3, verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan and were baptized. Same thing happened here, baptized. Same thing happening here of him in Jordan confessing their sins. Okay? okay? Confessing our sins. He asked the eunuch. The eunuch asked Philip, what hinder me that I may be baptized? Verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Yahushua, the Mashiach, Jesus the Christ, is the Son of God. Then he baptizes him. Okay, both goes into the water. So when you look at the association with the baptism, the true baptism of John is the baptism into repentance. When they confess their sin, he baptized with water. When you get over into Acts chapter 8, same thing is taking place. He hears the preaching. Once he hears the preaching, then I'm going to say this word, then I'm going to step out of it. Faith came and he believed, and from that he was baptized. Okay? Then as you see in Acts 19, you see they are disciples. They are believers. Verse 2, to the right of the screen, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? So you're looking at Acts 8, someone believed. You look at Matthew 3, they're confessing their sins, so they're believing. You look at Acts 19, they're believing. The true baptism of John is the baptism into repentance from the preaching of the gospel that caused them to believe. That's the true baptism of John. Now, we know water baptism has been associated with that, as you see it takes place in Acts chapter 8. You see it take place in Matthew chapter 3. But yet, you still seeing the baptism of John take place when a person believes in Christ from the preaching of the gospel. I know a whole lot of people haven't been water baptized, yet they believe. Because water baptism is an act to show what actually takes place from a spiritual point of view from someone who believes. So when you see somebody actually go through a water baptism, what they're doing is a physical act of what has taken place based upon the mental state. I believe that Christ is the Son of Yah. Therefore, since I believe, I have died to all of my sin, and I'm resurrected with him in righteousness. I'm righteous because that old man, that's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I'm gonna just pull it up. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When a person does the act of water baptism, it is based upon the reality of what has taken place from them from a kingdom perspective of believing in the Messiah, that he is the Son of Yah. That's why, again, when you look at the eunuch, we'll go back and look at the eunuch. That's why he says here, Acts 8:36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What do it hinder me to be baptized? Verse 37, and Peter said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Yahushua Mashiach, Jesus the Christ, is the Son of God. Not God, he is the Son. I believe that he is the Son. Then Philip now says, okay, now you're ready for the water. Anyone who is water baptized without becoming a new creation from a state of belief in thine heart, the mental state, then all they're doing is coming up wet. That's why when you look at water baptism, it is only for those who have accepted the true manifestation of what takes place when someone believes what this eunuch believes. I am not a new creature in Christ in Christ Yahushua. Old things are passed away. That means everything that I was from a state of consciousness before I believed, I am now not that individual based upon what Christ has done. All things are new. Okay? All things are new. Now, as we continue to he says, I believe that Christ is the Son of Yah, and we're seeing here the same thing with John confessing our sins. So the true baptism of John is really verse two. This is the true baptism of John. So when he's asking them in Acts chapter 19, you're looking at him saying in verse 19, Acts chapter 19, verse 2, and he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? What then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism, for the repentance of sin. What they were saying. They weren't just talking about water. They were saying we are disciples because we were baptized in John's baptism. We repented of our sin. We believe that the Christ is the Son of the living Yah, and therefore we are now disciples of Christ. Okay. Verse 3 says, and he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said he, John brethren baptized with the baptism of repentance. That's the baptism of John. The baptism of John is the baptism of repentance. That's why verse 2 in Matthew 3 says, and John, I'll go up to verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the baptism of John. So there are only two baptisms, one of John and one of Christ. And I'll point that out to you later. So you have a lot of people who have been baptized in the baptism of John to this very day. And thus, you are not, or we are not seeing the full manifestation of what y'all want to do because people are stuck on the baptism of John and hadn't been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because when they're baptized in the Holy Ghost, what takes place? What says the scripture when we're baptized in the Holy Ghost? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after. These disciples in Acts chapter 19 weren't operating in the power yet. They were believers. They were disciples. They were of the baptism of John into repentance, but they hadn't walked in the full power of Yah because they hadn't received the Holy Ghost of Yah. You may have people sit up in the same service, hearing the same message, but you have one who is baptized with the baptism of John, thus they have repented of their sin and they are disciples. And then you have another one who is baptized with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, whereby they are now able to take what they have heard and go and witness what they have heard. How do you know the difference? Verse 8 says, John, Acts 1, verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. This is the Savior talking to the disciples. He said, you believe on me. You have the baptism of John to repentance. You believe on me. But there's going to come a time when you be endued with the power of the Holy Ghost, and you shall now effectively witness me. That's the difference. So now we're understanding what's truly going on with the church. You got a lot of people who have been baptized into repentance, but they haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost. To witness. Those who are truly baptized in the Holy Ghost will preach the apostles' doctrine. A whole bunch of preachers is baptized in John's baptism. They have come up with their own doctrine, and they're teaching all these traditions of men and doctrines of devils, and they are sincere by what they preach. It's just that because they hadn't been baptized in the Holy Ghost to witness Christ, then they teach the traditions of men instead of the doctrines of the apostles, which is Christ and Him crucified, and all the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, like with the things that, you know, people are supposed to be hearing. Acts 1, verse 8 again, left off the screen, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what the power of the Holy Ghost or the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for. That's what takes place when a person is baptized with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why he says now, the baptism of John, it is clear now, Matthew 3, the baptism of John is when a person repents from their sins. Confessing our sins in verse 6, that's the baptism of John. And so people have put all their focus on the water, and that's just a symbol of what's taking place from John's baptism. And so they focus on the water and say, man, you got to be water baptized. No, you got to be John baptized to repent. So you have a lot of people who are coming to the altar, and they're making a confession. It's just that nothing is taking place in the heart. Thus the falling away. Okay? Now, exit out of the screen of Matthew 3. Now, we're in chapter 19 now. And he said unto them, verse 3, and he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Yahushua. That's the baptism of John. Verse 5 says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus now. After they heard that they were baptized only in the baptism of John, then they said, I want to be baptized in the name of Yahushua. Be baptized in Yahushua the Christ, the Mashiach. So, I'm going to throw this out there as a nugget. We've done it before, different times. Y'all lead us to do it again. If we ever do water baptism, we will only baptize in the name of Christ, Yahushua. There's only two, one of John and one of Christ. But when you look at the traditions of men, when they say I baptize you, I've done it before in the past too because of ignorance. When you look at it in the past, I would say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. No, the scripture tells us there are only two, baptism of John and baptism of repentance in the Christ Jesus, Yahushua. Okay? Verse 4 says, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, the Mashiach, Yahushua. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Yahushua. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and what took place after the Holy Ghost came? Until then, they were just learners. When the Holy Ghost comes upon them, look what takes place immediately now. Verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hand upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, we know that tongue is not the heavenly language that Christians teach, because it points out, and I have to show it in Scripture, although we know it, I just have to show it for the perspective of those who don't know. Okay? When you look at Acts chapter 2, I just read verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Notice this comes rushing mighty wind. It is the breath of Yah. That's what it is. That's what the Holy Ghost is. It's not a third person of the Godhead. It comes from heaven. Sound from heaven. It's the breath of Yah. The same spirit descended down from heaven in the form of a dove in Matthew 3, the light upon the Savior, Christ. It says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire that set upon each one of them, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Same thing. As you see in Acts chapter 19, they were filled and they spake with tongues. What are these tongues? It's not that what Christians be talking about. Because verse 5, Acts 2 tells us what these are. Verse 5 through 6 and these other verses all the way to verse 11, but we'll just stop at verse 6. It said, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation in the heaven. Now when this was known abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language, tongues. Tongues is a language. It's not some heavenly stuff that these folks be preaching, they be saying in church. Tongue is an actual language. Okay? Speaking his own language, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How we hear every man in his own tongue wherein he were born. So these disciples were speaking in Parthian, Mede, Elamite, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia in Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Crete, Arabians. All these were languages. We do hear them speak in our tongues, languages, the wonderful works of Yah. Tongues are languages. When you look at it here, just taking time for those who don't understand. It says tongue by implication, a language. One naturally unacquired. I don't speak Japanese. But if I had been there that day and it had been somebody there from Japan, then I may have been speaking Japanese. Japanese to the one that was from Japan, edifying or manifesting the wonderful works of Yah. With tongues. That's what it truly is. So when you see the filling of the Holy Ghost, then it takes the boundaries of communication off, and a person can speak in other languages when they're inspired by the Holy Ghost to do so. That's why when you look at Acts chapter 19, verse 6, it says, when Paul laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Okay? They spake with languages and prophesied. That's what they did. And all the men were about 12. So we see the difference. We see someone can have the baptism of John. That means they have repented of their sins and they believe that Christ is the Son of Yah. That's what the baptism of John is. Now, when we are baptized in the Holy Ghost, we are now going forth and being discipled and are able to proclaim and be a witness of what we believe. You got a lot of believers who can't witness. Because it takes the Holy Ghost for that. It takes the infilling of the Holy Ghost to witness. Okay? Thus, when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe it's chapter 12, or maybe 14, but I think it's 12. That's why when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, says, verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, so now there are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it's the same Yah which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For one, the Spirit of wisdom. I don't know why people don't have wisdom. It's because they don't have the Holy Ghost. They believe in the Messiah. They believe that Christ is the Son of Yah. But the reason why they don't operate in the wisdom of Yah is because the Spirit has not. They have been baptized in the Spirit. That's why you be looking at some saved folks and be like, man, don't you know Jesus? Why are you making them dumb decisions? Man, why God not leading you? They baptized in the John's baptism, not the Holy Ghost. Because the Spirit now has gifts that is distributed. One of them is wisdom. One of them is knowledge. One of them is faith. That's why you will have a person who finds it difficult to put their trust in Yah. Because it takes the Holy Ghost to do it. You can be a professor, or you can have faith to a certain perspective, but not be able to get the job done because you don't have the Holy Ghost. And I'll back that up as we continue on. To another faith, verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. In other words, the Spirit can come upon you, and faith will be so powerful to the point that you want God to do something that seems to be impossible. That's how I operate. Well, when a person asks me, how do you do that? The gift of faith. I have faith in Yah, but at the same time, the Spirit comes up on me to get the job done by faith. And when that takes place, man, ain't nothing going to get in my way. Ain't nothing going to stop me. I am operating in the gift of faith. The faith of Yah, the power, and the Spirit of Yah is up on me for the task. It's going to get done. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. It is the Spirit. That's why you get a lot of folks praying for folks. Ain't nothing happening. They just believers. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall do certain things. But there's something that you need happening in order for that sign to follow the believer. Not just talking about any old believer. To another working of miracles, verse 10. To another prophet. To another discerning of spirit. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another interpretation of tongue, diverse kinds of language. You know that's a gift by the Spirit. Interpretation of it is a gift by the Spirit. But all these working to that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Not he as in the Spirit, but as in the source. Yah. Okay. Now, as we look at Acts chapter 19, Paul laid hands on the verse 6, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Okay. Now let's go and look at the process of this to show you, to confirm this in Scripture. Now when we read these other verses, they'll make sense to us. Now. Verse 6 says, Romans 10, I'm sorry, verse 6. I just start at verse 6. I'm not going to go to verse 1 for the sake of the time. Romans 10, verse 6 says, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, the abyss, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it?" Anytime you hear "what saith it," what does that mean? It's written. But what saith it? What saith what? What saith the scripture? So that means it's written. You find it in Deuteronomy 30, we'll go there. Matter of fact, we'll just pull it up now. Okay. Verse 10. We'll go verse 6. Verse 8. Romans 10, to the writer of the scheme said, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." The word of faith which we preach. Now, Deuteronomy 30, verse 10 is the "what saith it." But what saith it? Verse 10 says, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yah thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Yah thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. For this is the commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. But it is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us? What saith it? The word is nigh thee. That's why he says this in verse 6. Who shall ascend to heaven? Who shall ascend to heaven? He's letting you know it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it into us, that we may hear it. Hear what? And do it. Do what? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it. And do it. Do what? Keep the commandments and the statutes which are written in the law. Okay, but the word is very nigh unto thee. Look, the word is even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith. But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do them. Okay, see, Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and death, life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love Yah thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And Yah thy God shall bless thee in the land where thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, okay, so that thou will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou passes over Jordan to go to possess it. It's the promised land. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, and I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. What is the life? The word. The laws of Yah. Verse 20, that thou mayest love Yah thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice. This is the living. See, live, here, colon. He's explaining here. That thou mayest love Yah thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. man, we want to live by anything else. And the length of thy day, that thou mayest dwell in the land which Yah swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So now, when we get over into Romans 10, we now understand what it says, verse 8. But what says it? Deuteronomy 30. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. See, the law pointed to the way. Okay? We have a law set before us that we may cleave to Yah, that we may follow Yah, and that we may love Yah. Christ now has come to fulfill the law in that he became the avenue by which we would declare or decree righteous. So that's why it's pointing to him now. And so as you look at it here, and it starts to point out, okay, what is going on with people? Why are people not being able to stay in this? Why is all this false doctrine and stuff that's out there? Let's just continue on now. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, remember Acts 19? The Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart, remember Acts 8, the eunuch, that Yah has raised him, Christ, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Didn't say you were. It's a process. It's a process. Those disciples, those eunuchs, it was stuff that needed to take place. Yeah, they were learners, but learning just ain't going to get it by itself. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, the Jew and the Gentile. In other words, all those who believe in Christ now are saved. They have the baptism of John. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't say you are. Because Paul pointed out that there were people who walked away. The scripture points out that there's going to be a falling away of the saints. There's going to be apostasy where doctrines are taught that's not in line with the apostles' doctrine, with the prophets taught, with the law taught. You see this happening. That's why Timothy was warned by Paul. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, exhort with all long-suffering and gentleness. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're in that time frame. So since people are not enduring sound doctrine, how can they be saved if they don't hear? I just snatched the covers off. Why people not laughing and why people are not growing in the things of Yah? Because they're not hearing the gospel. They're not hearing the true message of the kingdom. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Y'all saying this. How can they hear without a preacher? Verse 15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's written in Isaiah 53, verse 1. Verse 15 is referring to Isaiah 53, verse 1. Okay? That's why when it says, as it is written, we know that's in the Old Testament now. Isaiah 53 and 1 is where that's found. Okay? Now, when you look at Titus, we're going to pull up Titus here just to confirm this here and to understand why people are falling away from the things of Yah. There's no preaching going on. Titus chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Yah and an apostle of Yahushua Mashiach, according to the faith of Yah's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, in hope of eternal life, okay, which Yah that cannot lie promised before the world began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandments of Yah our Savior. It is the preaching of the apostles' doctrine concerning Christ, in harmony with the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, is going to bring people to true repentance. That's why you have it falling away. That's why nobody has respect for the church now. I mean, that church. I'm talking about Christians as a whole. It is the preaching of the gospel. I'm going to show you what takes place from the preaching of the gospel when it's truly preached. Romans 10. We're going to stay there. Verse 15, I'll read Romans 10, verse 15 again. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? I believe it's found in Isaiah 52. Who shall believe our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yah. Now you understand why people are not entering into the baptism of John. They're not hearing true gospel nowadays. We are in the great falling away of the church. People come to church and they get 5 points on how to get your house. They bring in Oprah. They bring in all these other people who have money and want to sit down and try to educate the church on what's necessary to be financially debt-free and all these other things. But all that is not going to get them anywhere until they first of all hear the word of God that bring them into repentance, so that they can now fall in line with the will of Yah for their life. Because some of them are going to realize from following the will of Yah from their life through hearing the preachers that, you know what? I ain't called to do that. I'm going to stay in my own lane. But it's like all this stuff is going on in these churches. They're giving up all these different things, and they're teaching these different things from a perspective of not dealing with people who have the repentance of John and now has been put in a position where they can understand and receive the Holy Ghost, so that now they can kick in and do all the things that they teach it. I'm going to say this boldly. Faith only comes by hearing the word of Yah. Faith comes by hearing the word of Yah. Did you know not all men have faith? So we got to understand what that means. I will. Faith cometh by hearing the word of Yah. That's how faith comes now. Now, let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm just moving around. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. What is it referring to? It's talking from a perspective of the word of God, the word of Yah, having free course, because these wicked men are folks who had not received the truth concerning the Messiah, and therefore they don't have faith. They don't have the faith of Yah. Those who don't believe that Christ is the Son of Yah, those are people who don't have faith. Because faith only comes by hearing the words of Yah. Faith what? What am I talking about? Faith for what? Faith to believe that Christ is the Son of Yah. Not all people have this faith. You have people that show up for church, and they want to hear Oprah. They want to hear all these things because they don't have faith in Christ. They don't have the faith of Christ. All they're doing is trying to get connected to the church because they want to be rich. They want to say they belong to something, you know, I belong to this church. I belong to that church. Not all men have faith. Not all men trust in Yah and His Son. Not all men have faith. There are wicked people out there. There are folks who sitting up in church that just is wicked. They don't want to hear nothing about Yah and His Son. That's why they're glad that the preacher got a bookstore where they can go in there and buy whatever sermon they want. They don't want to hear from Yah. They're looking for 5 points on how to make it. Stuff I'm sharing with you right now, people don't want to hear this. Man, I thought he was going to preach. So when it says, for not all men have faith, it's talking about in reference to the gospel being preached. Y'all's word is not having free course. So you got all these people who are going to church and they don't even have faith. Because they're not hearing the words of Yah. They are not hearing the true gospel. They don't have faith. They don't have the faith of Yah. That's why they'll give up on Him every chance they get.
And I was leaving them for my house, man. I didn't get my house. I ain't going to church no more. I ain't going to church no more, man. Forget God, man. I'm the church. That's where all this stuff comes from. Because the true message of Christ is not being preached. The apostles' doctrine is not being preached, and therefore you don't see the manifestation of faith in the scriptural form. You got a whole lot of people talking about all this other kind of faith. We can talk about faith. We're talking about faith in Yah through His Son. The rest of that stuff, faith they talking about, don't even count. All right. John 6, and then we're going to close if y'all have any questions. John chapter 6, we'll look at verse 43. Yehoshua, John 6, verse 43. Yehoshua therefore answered and said unto them, and you're going to read the rest of John 6 on your own, just that for the sake of time, I'm starting here. Yehoshua therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now you get people that will take this here and take off running with this passage and start having everybody think that you can't get to Jesus if God don't want you. You already predestined. You already chosen. From their perspective, you already chose, everybody's chosen who going to heaven and everybody's chosen who going to hell. So you can't come to God. You can't come to God. God got to draw you. You can't come to Him. Let the scripture tell us what He means. Yehoshua therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me. Christ said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, colon, and I will raise him up in the last day. Continue. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of Yah. If they are not taught of Yah, then they will not go to His Son. Thus you understand why people are not coming to Yah. The reason why people are not coming to Yah or the reason why people have not come to Christ is because they have not been taught of Yah. is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of Yah. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. In other words, if we don't teach you the word of Yah and to give us an understanding of that there is one God who has a son that we can come to that one God through that son, and that the word is nigh us, even in our hearts, to believe what we hear, then you will not have people who will come to Yah or be drawn to the son because of Yah. Ain't no teaching going on. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of Yah. Every man, therefore, that has heard, faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10 and 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yah. Every man, therefore, that has heard, verse 45, and has learned of who? The Father. You can learn about the Son all day long. It's the Father who's the one going to get you there, who the one going to cause you to believe in the Son. That's why he says in verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. How do the Father draw them? You got to be some preacher that's preaching the truth. When the preachers are preaching the truth, then the Father will draw them to the Son as the Savior of the world. That's why I laugh at these guys when they go run around here trying to tell you, I don't believe that Christ is the Son of Yah, and he ain't the Savior of mankind. It's because you hadn't heard a preacher preach you the word for your faith to kick in and see the Messiah as he is, the Son of Yah, sent by the Father to draw all men to himself. Thus, not all men have faith. They're talking about the faith in Yah. To be drawn to him through his son, who is the son of the living Yah. That's the kind of preaching that's going to draw people into the kingdom. Okay? Now, verse 6, 45, and then I'm going to go ahead and close. There's no questions or comments. Verse 45 says, it is written in the prophet, and they shall be all taught of Yah. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he. See, people miss this. Oh, nobody's seen God. I have. I've seen him, and so have you. Because it's not talking about from a physical or a sense perspective. It's talking about perception. That's why he says it in verse 45, verse 46. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. I'm of God. I've seen it. I perceive it. That's why I went to the Son. I told you y'all seen him too. Do you believe in the Son? You've seen it. When you believe in the Son, when you believe that the Son has been sent by the Father and he is the Son of Yah, and you believe that he died for the sins of mankind, you have seen the Father. Seen as in perception. That's why he says in verse 46. No, verse 46, not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Well, aren't y'all of God? Then you've seen it. If not, he hasn't seen it. Alright? 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that believeth on the Messiah hath everlasting life, shall be saved. Romans 10, verse 10. shall be saved, has everlasting life. It is to get us to understanding that the believing in Christ is the process that brings all these other things to play. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the wisdom. That's the knowledge. That's the prophecy. That's the administrations. Okay? That's the manifestations of the gift of Yah. That's the operations of the Lord. All these things come into place once we believe that Christ is the Son of Yah. Then now we become just like the disciples of Acts 19, and we receive the Holy Ghost now, and the Holy Ghost now is able to manifest all these gifts so we can go forward and do everything that God's called us to do to glorify His kingdom. All the things that we experience in Radnor, even as far as our building project, it's nothing but a manifestation of faith by the Spirit. We have the gift of faith operating on us now as a ministry by the Spirit. Yeah, so I'm gonna give them the faith to do everything that's necessary to get done, and they're gonna go and get it done as miracle-like activity, and that's all we've been doing. That's all we've been doing. Why? Because we believe in the Son, and from believing in the Son, we have perception of the Father. Now, faith comes in, and we believe Him for everything that's necessary for us to do what we need to do in order to glorify Him. Thus, we get the results. Y'all get it? Okay? I'm finished. Any questions or comments? Good? Okay. We sure, everybody? We good? All right. I'll go ahead and stop there. Father, we just bless you for... Y'all told me to tell y'all that He loves you. And that everything that's necessary in your lives that's needed, He'll bring it to pass according to His will. Just keep your focus on the things that's necessary for Him to be glorified and you be successful in everything you do. And Father, we just bless you for that. We just thank you for bringing us into another facet of understanding. Just continue to lead us, guide us in all truth. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.